In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Good afternoon. It's good to see so many of you back again. Wasn't it great to hear our young confirmed ones doing the readings today? It was so surprising to me. I always had my eyes closed while I listened to the readings, and to look over to just glance up, and at the end when you change to recognize, that's not Amanda, that's not Margarita. I fully thought it was the two of you, but you look so much like your mothers and read so beautifully just like they do. We're very proud to have young ones like you. A few announcements that we have. A few announcements which are important. The first of which is, just like I told you last week in Santa Rosa, Sister Anne has her camp, her Bible camp, that's going on this week. And that's all right if you are just hearing about it right now. She said anybody from Fort Sumner, if they want to come between the ages of 5, or between the grades of 2 and 5, welcome to come. It's from 9 a.m. until noon. That's there, 9 a.m. to noon. Welcome to be a part of it. She has them there. Just go ahead and show up ready to sign a few release forms, which is normal, and everything will be good to go. This week, everything will go as normal for our time here. Somebody came up to me last week and they said, "Father, we didn't know that you stayed here the whole time on Sundays. We thought you had to run back to Santa Rosa." That's not the case. Make it very, very clear. I'm here from now until at least 10 o'clock at night on Monday. That's when I've been leaving, about 10 o'clock, getting back there and then finding time to fall asleep before I have to get up early in the morning over there. So I'm here the entirety of the time. Every moment is available to you. If you want something, if you need something, if you need to talk, if you need somebody to pray with you, if you need somebody to visit you in any way, or if you just made too much food and you need somebody to eat it. I'm decently good at eating food. I don't excel in making it. That's your job. So that's what my schedule is for that. Make sure everybody knows. Somehow there's confusion. Let's dispel confusion. Let's dispel it about that. Also this week, we have a deanery meeting on Tuesdays, but that doesn't affect you too much. Wednesday Mass is normal, and if you want to go up there for the 7 a.m. Mass in the old form, the Latin Mass, you can do so. Right after that, though, I leave to go on a family vacation with my family. We get together for a reunion. Rarely ever happens, once every few years. And so we're going to do that. I'll be gone then until the following week, the following Saturday. Tell everybody that it's a great treat. If you've been missing Father Sinna, he's going to be covering that weekend too, so you'll have him back again. Make sure that everybody knows that as well. And apart from that, we'll just be back again. If you could please keep Deacon Sinna in prayer. He's not here today because he's not doing so well. Probably won't be doing so well for a few weeks, so keep him in prayer. He'd appreciate that. See what our Lord has to say to us in the readings, and especially in this Mass. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Amen. What have you been asking God for lately? That's good. Okay. That's one thing to ask for. I wasn't expecting a response. That's good. What have you been asking for lately? See, in that reading, there's an interesting thing that's going on here. Remember last time I told you about all my favorite places in the Holy Land? I mentioned those places. Well, the place right there is a place we're going to in the Holy Land. It's Jesus' cave. That's where he was. When it talks about a certain place, everybody knew what place that was. A cave by the Sea of Galilee that Jesus always went to pray. You can go see it if you want to go with us on that pilgrimage in Jerusalem. I'll try next week or the week after to bring little flyers on that opportunity. That I'll make sure that the lady gives me some extra ones for you who's hosting. But the readings here beg that question. Beg that question, how do we pray? What are we praying about? What's the content of our prayer? Because what does Jesus give us in the gospel? He talks about what? He talks about that man who comes to his friend at midnight begging. It talks about Jesus imploring us to ask, to knock, to seek. Jesus gives those three examples of good fathers and how they don't trick their sons. They give them what they need. So we need to ask ourselves, and the gospel begs the question, what have you been praying about lately? The content of your prayers. What's going on there? What are you asking for? Am I asking him in the right way, or am I asking him in a way maybe it's not so good, and that's why I'm not open to receive? Here's some examples. How does a teenager ask questions? You can think of yourself. You can think of Giselle Bernadette right there. You can think of Elisa or Serena or any of your teenagers here. You can ask about Rose. How do you ask? How do your teenagers ask you questions? I'll tell you how. This is what goes on in their mind. When you're a teenager, you're calculating, right? You're weighing things that are going on. You're saying, is it the right time to ask? Well, mom's in a bad mood right now, so I'm going to hold back. I'm not going to ask that right now. Dad's in a bad mood. I'm going to wait till a better moment, wait till they're happy and joyful, and then I'm going to slip it in there, right? Or you'll say, I don't want to ask for too much, because if I ask for all this stuff, they're going to say no outright because it's too outlandish. Ask for something a little bit less. But if I don't want to ask too little, because then I'm wasting a favor that maybe I'm not going to be able to draw on later on. So you try to calculate it. You try to make sure that you're doing everything in the right way. You really think about it. But that's not the way Jesus is talking about asking today in prayer. Not to be like teenagers. How do little children ask? What questions do they ask? How do they ask their parents for things that they want? This is how a child asks questions. A child turns, and instead of doing that, what a child does is just doesn't hold back anything. The first thing that comes to them, they say, I want this. They may not even know what that thing is called, but they say that, I want, I want it, I want it, I want it, over and over again, don't they? Especially toddlers do that. Especially little ones like little Angel over there. I want this, this food over there, that toy over there, that thing that there that I have no idea what it is. Marketers know that about our kids. That's why there's those during those cartoon hours, they always have those particular things focused on the kids. They're not focused on selling the parents, no. They're focused on selling the kids. Marketers know something about it. They say, what we're really shooting for is we're aiming to leverage that pester power. Pester power, that's an actual term that they use in marketing. Pester power, it's exactly what it sounds like. The fact that they know that little kids, if they can convince the kid to want it, to desire it, they'll pester over and over and over again until mom or dad finally relents and they get to sell the product. They buy the product for that little one. Marketers rely on that pester power. That the children's going to say, I want it now, I want that toy now, even though in 6 months I won't even remember that it exists. Maybe I already broke it. But I want that cereal now, that sugar Cocoa Puffs that's going on right now, even though when you look on the back of it, neither they nor us can even begin to pronounce all those ingredients that are in there. Some vitamin spray of some kind, no nutritional value. But they want it. They desire it. Children ask for it. They see something and they say, oh, that's the one thing that's going to make me happy right now. That toy is ultimately going to fulfill me. I can't live without it. And so they ask over and over again for it. What do good parents do in that situation? You're good parents. What do you do? If a parent says yes to everything that the child asks them for, what's going to happen? That's right, they're going to be totally spoiled. They're going to be totally spoiled. In fact, the real problem is not just that they'll be spoiled. The child might never be able to discern what is actually good for them in the end. But what happens if a parent says no to everything, just reflexively, no? What happens is that child and parent begin to increase in distance from one another. There's a gap there in their closeness to one another. The child will no longer begin to bring desires, needs, wants to their parents because they know they're just going to reject them anyway. There was a little child who came up to me this week. I was thinking about this homily. I asked them what they asked their parents for. And the little child just looked down and said, Father, I don't ask for anything. They never give me anything. I just don't ask. That's abuse. That's abuse. So as good parents, we have to strike a medium, right? We have to give sometimes, but withhold maybe a little bit more so that we can do something else. According to God, according to the sacred scriptures that we have here, God is a good parent. In fact, Jesus describes him as a loving father, a loving father. Jesus says, look, I came to earth. The reason why I came down, became incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary is because I just want to show you who the Father really is. Who he really is. I want you to recognize that the Father is somebody you can bring all your needs to bring all your desires to. Just ask. Just seek it of him. Just knock. It'll be open to you. It'll be given to you. Stretch down. Jesus is saying, I want to teach you how to pray to communicate with the Father. Jesus is saying, you want to know how to pray? Here's how to pray. Ask for stuff. Ask for stuff. What is the Our Father? The Our Father that we have right here. What is it? It's just a list of seven I wants, I wants, I wants, I need, I need, I need, gimme, gimme, gimme. That's all the Our Father is. And then after Jesus gives it, he says, well, now you know the words, the exact words that I want you to say back to my Father. He says this. He says, the next thing is you need to know how to ask. That's why he says, ask, seek, knock. What does he mean by ask, seek, knock? He means pester, pester. He's saying, you got to pester me. You got to pester my Father. Just pester. Come with your needs. Come with all the desires that you have over and over again and don't relent. You see, when we go to the Lord with our desires, what happens? Is that a relationship is built between us and God. That's what he's after. What's the goal of prayer? Why pray? Because prayer brings about a union, a closeness between us and God. When we ask, what we do is we open ourselves to be united to God. We recognize that we're totally dependent upon him. We recognize that God wants to be with us and wants to give us good gifts. And so we become closer in the very asking of God. That's what he wants us to ask. You know, there was somebody who just recently came up to me and said, "Father, look, why should I ask for anything? God's omniscient. He knows everything. He already knows what's in my heart. Why do I need to ask it of him? He knows everything, Father." Let's look again. How do parents act? Remember, God is a parent, a father. When a child asks, what happens is that there's an opportunity that's going on there. There's an opportunity to give a gift, or there's an opportunity to teach a greater lesson. To teach that, hey, guess what? You're made for something more. To say, I've got something better in mind for you. Just wait. Just wait. For example, take the example from our own lives. If a parent could say, you want that toy? Here it is. Go ahead and take it. It'd be perfectly good to do. Or that parent could say, well, actually, what I want to do right now is I want to teach you temperance. Teach you temperance. Let's not have the toy today. Let's not go and get that happy meal today. Instead, you want something? You want a happy meal? Let's go to the kitchen. Let's pull out that hamburger meat. Let's make a patty. Then let's go outside. Let's fire up the barbecue. Let's put it on the grill. And I'll show you what a real hamburger is supposed to taste like. To show you something more. To reveal to you something that actually nourishes you. Something that tastes amazing. Because when we seek, when we ask, when we knock, when we pray for something, what we're doing is we're being like children to God. God wants us to be like little children. He says you won't enter into the kingdom of heaven unless you become like these little ones. Unless you become like them. Jesus doesn't want us to hold back in our prayers, to ask for little things. God wants to ask us for big, expansive things. We need to continually go to him with our needs. What is a child really saying when they constantly pester their parents for things? What is a child saying? What does a child mean? The child is saying, I know that I can depend on my parent, my mommy, that my daddy. They have everything for me. They give everything to me. Isn't that the kind of trust and reliance that God our Father wants of us? To depend upon him, to recognize that our ultimate need is just for him. Just for him. Of course, he knows everything we need, but he still wants us to ask. He wants because he wants us to enter into that relationship of deeper trust. Yes, in our lives, maybe there's fear, right? There's a fear. What if I ask God for something, doesn't give it to me? Then have I wasted my time? Then I look like a fool? There may be fear that's going on there, but when we ask, it's an opportunity for us to grow in a relationship, to begin to really trust in God that he ultimately has our good. If the prayer request is delayed, then God has something even greater in store for us in the right way. God has our best interest at heart always. And have you ever seen an adult or a child, a teenager, when they return back from school, or an adult, a friend of yours, who comes and reflects back on their childhood, and they say, well, you know, look, I asked for stuff all the time when I was a kid, but my parents never gave stuff to me. You see, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had to work for everything that I got in life. I had to work and a slave. They look back on their life with a bit of pride at the fact that they didn't get everything from their parents, because they have a sense of pride of ownership for the things that they did get. Isn't that a good thing? Well, think about that in heaven. At the time when you finally arrive in heaven, God willing, you live your life in such a way where you can get there, you can look back and say, well, remember all those trials. Remember all those difficulties, times where I didn't get the things that I asked for in prayer. That was for my sanctity. That made me holy. I had to grow. There was a time in my life where I treated God like he was a vending machine. I put in the prayer, I pulled out the gift. But God showed me something greater by allowing me to grow. Now I'm ready to be in heaven. I'm fit for heaven. Remember that in the gospel, Jesus gives us so many great things. There was a time when I went to a priest for confession. I went there and he gave me some good spiritual advice. I'm going to share it with you. He said to me, Father Christopher, you might have to spend half of your eternity in heaven, should you make it, just thanking God for all the times where he didn't answer your prayers the way you wanted them to. For not giving you those things that you thought you really wanted, but weren't for your good, that God had something better in store. Isn't that something? Isn't that something to think about? God still wants us to ask. He wants us to ask. There's a number of times within the Gospels that Jesus really points out to us what to ask for. He says, ask for blessings, especially upon your enemies, those who persecute you. Bless them and do not curse them. He tells them, as we talked about a couple weeks ago, he said, ask the master of the harvest to send out workers into his vineyard. I hope each of you are praying for vocations. Are you praying for vocations to spring up here from our own parish as well, as priests, as religious, as consecrated laypersons? Pray for that. But he also asks us, remember, in the Garden of Eden, what is he doing with his disciples there? He pulls them all together and he says, pray that you may not undergo the test. He's saying, pray for perseverance. He says, pray for the grace of a happy death and all sorts of other things throughout the scriptures. In fact, in the gospel today, what is Jesus talking about? Jesus gives the example of the man who goes to his friend at midnight. Why does he say he went to him at midnight? What's midnight? It's the darkest moment of the day, isn't it? The darkest moment of the day. So what does that mean? What does it mean? It's the darkest moment of the day. So God is saying, go to me at your darkest moment. When it seems like everything is gone, every light has vanished, come to me at that moment. That's the appropriate moment to come to me. He asks for what? He asks for 3 loaves of bread. What's significant about 3 and bread? What do we know that's 3 things but 1 substance? That's right, the Trinity, the Holy Trinity. It's the 3 in 1. So what is he saying? He's saying, look, come to me, persistently come to me in that moment of your darkest need. And what should you ask of me? Ask that I would be there. Ask that you can know that I'm with you. Ask that you know that I never abandon you in the midst of your darkest hour. Come to me persistently. I will give you myself. I will assure you of my own presence there. Then what does he say in that next part? Jesus gives us the example of the good father versus the bad father that's there. And he says first, he says what? He says, what father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? What's significant about a fish? Where does a fish come from? From the water. The fish swims around in the water. And so we see in that the waters of baptism. And what does baptism give us? What do we say? What do you want from God right here? What are you asking of the church for? Faith. For faith. And so we're to ask God for faith. And what's in opposition to that? What tries to destroy it is the snake, the serpent. It tries to tempt us away from faith. So saying, ask for faith. Don't ask for the serpent. He says, what father among you would hand his son a scorpion instead of an egg? Well, what's the egg? The egg is actually a sign of hope. It's a promise of something which is to come. Because in the egg, there's a treasure inside, hidden inside that shell, but you can't see it. You just know that it's there. Somehow you know that it's there. And that's what our Lord offers us in eternal life. Something that we can't see even now, but God promises and we wait in hope until the revelation in that eggshell is cracked. So too, what would happen if you opened that eggshell and instead found out a scorpion, and the scorpion stung you? You'd move toward death. But Jesus says what? He says what? He says it over and over again. He says, oh death, where is your sting? Oh death, where is your victory? I have destroyed it. And that's why he gives us the promise of eternal salvation and hope through his cross. And so he offers us that. Ask for the egg, hope. And then in the Spanish version of the gospel, and also in the ancient text, he gives a third one. And he says, what father among you would give him a stone to his son when he asks for a loaf of bread? Well, what is the bread there? The bread is a sign of the bread of charity, a breaking of the bread where God is present to us in the Mass, right? The breaking of the bread where God gives us everything that we need to be able to make it, his very self. And so that's what our Lord wants to give us, his very self in charity, to warm our hearts with his love so they don't become cold like a stone. And so our Lord offers us these 3 gifts today. He says, I want to give you faith. I want to give you hope. That I want to give you my own charity and love to warm your soul for all eternity. To ask these things of me, to put these things before me, to trust in me with these things because they're the theological virtues, the only things that last and will satisfy us. In the end, only those 3 abide because they all lead us to God. St. Thomas Aquinas, the great saint of the church, wrote so beautifully about God the whole of his life. At the end of his life, he was there praying at his desk. The crucifix came alive and spoke to him. Bent down off the cross, our Lord Jesus said to him and said, Thomas, you've spoken so beautifully of me. You've written so beautifully of me. What do you want as your reward? And St. Thomas merely bowed his head. And he said, Lord, you alone do I desire. You alone do I want. You alone can satisfy my soul. And so it is. The one thing that satisfies. The Lord God only wants us to want him. To realize that in him we have everything we could ever ask for or imagine. That he wants to pour out his very person into us. To satisfy us. To lead us unto eternal life. What have you been asking for lately in prayer? Keep asking. Keep asking of it and do not stop. Don't stop pestering God for these things. The Father, be like a little child, not like a teenager that calculates, but like a little child that releases everything to the Lord in trusting him. Ask for big things, not small things. Ask for God to give you faith in that darkest moment of your life where you don't see a way out. Ask God for hope, that he'll bring his salvation to you in a place that you can't even imagine or see. Ask God for his love, for his charity, to feed you in this life so that you can make it ultimately to the next life. I tell you the truth. That's exactly what our Lord Jesus wants to give you. Jesus said, ask of me anything. be it as high as the heaven or as deep as the netherworld. If you would ask it of me, I would give you the nations. I would put the ends of the earth under your feet and give them to you as your possession. If you but ask it of me. What have you been asking God for lately? Whatever it is, don't stop. Keep pestering the Father. Remember, you're his child. He'll give you everything that you ask for or need, and things which are beyond your even imagination. Ask it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.